2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're using one of the Pew Bibles, that's going to be page 937. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. You can see some of you smiling because you're in another version at 9, not another version, but one of the newer Bibles at 937. Just keep turning till you find 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 7. And as I mentioned to you, each Sunday we're going to read joyfully and loudly so everybody on Facebook Live can hear us. Okay? Let's read God's Word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We're continuing our series through the Apostles' Creed, and today we're looking at the phrase, "He suffered under Pontius Pilate." I'm convinced that there is probably that I probably do not grasp the magnitude of what that phrase, "suffered under Pontius Pilate," really means and what it really carries. Apart from Jesus, the Creed only references two other people by name, Mary and Pilate. Mary is associated with Jesus' birth, Pilate with Jesus' death. Mary with his reception, Pilate with his rejection. Mary with his flourishing, Pilate with his suffering. Mary with his birth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Pilate was a weak political hack who was appointed as prefect or governor of Judea by Tiberius, who was the Roman emperor in 27 AD. This position was not given to Pilate because of his political acumen. Rather, he and the emperor had a common friend who intervened on Pilate's behalf. He infuriated the Jews by hanging worship images of the Roman emperor throughout the city of Jerusalem, and by having coins bearing pagan religious symbols minted. You remember the question Jesus asked when he was shown, when he asked for the coin? In 36 AD, Pilate ordered an attack on a group of Samaritans who had gathered on Mount Gerizim, and then he was accused of executing men without giving them a trial. He was called back to Rome by the then Roman emperor, Caligula, who wanted to place his own person in Pilate's stead. So when Pilate came back to Rome, he was ordered by Caligula to commit suicide, which he did. What a dichotomy. The Son of God standing before a weak political appointee. The Son of God beaten, humiliated, used as a punching bag, while Pilate stands by without remorse and without conscience. The Son of God turned over to a Roman execution mob by a man who acquiesced to the cries of a Jewish mob. Interestingly, the New Testament offers us a dual view of suffering. The New Testament uses the same Greek word, pathema, and it implies suffering that we go through externally and suffering we go through internally. External suffering is suffering that is brought about through various misfortune, through calamity, through evil, through affliction. External suffering is just part of living in a fallen world. Internal suffering is the inner struggles that I have, the affections, the passions, the lust, the habits, the bondage that draws me and leads me to sin. It is my personal struggle that I may not share with anyone else or I don't talk about openly, but it is a personal suffering that is going on in my life because my spirit is being debilitated and hindered and attacked by these various issues that I allow to go on inside me. Scripture gives us indicators of both external suffering that is brought about by living in a fallen world and internal suffering that is brought about by my failure to deal with the struggles, the temptations, the passions that I allow to rage inside me. Romans chapter 7, verse 5. Paul says, while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions that were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Internal suffering is what Pilate is talking about, these sinful passions that are at work inside of us. Then in Romans 8, 18, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. External sufferings, the sufferings we have as believers living in a fallen world. Galatians 5, 24, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. There's that internal suffering. Those passions and desires that rage inside of me that I have to decide, what am I going to do with them? Am I going to acquiesce them and just give in to them? Or am I going to crucify them? Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and sharing in his sufferings by becoming like him in death. External suffering. 2 Timothy 3:11. My persecutions and sufferings, the things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. External suffering that comes about in our lives as a result of us stating and believing and saying that I'm a follower of Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. Peter is writing about both external suffering that comes about by living in a fallen world, and yet internal suffering that comes about by the struggles that go on inside our lives. You see, the truth is, all of us are affected by suffering, and all of us are suffering in some way. Pilate suffered from deep, superstitious fear. He was a coward of the worst kind. He used Rome's power to compensate for his own poor self-image. The Jewish leaders who arrested Jesus, they had been broken, beaten, conquered, and harassed by world powers from Egypt to Rome. They lived in the past, seeing themselves as a powerful nation of free men while living under Roman bondage. In fact, in John chapter 6, they ask this question of Jesus. They say to him, how dare you call us captives? We are children of Abraham. We are free. Such bondage, such disillusionment, such blindness. And that is part of suffering, particularly internal suffering, is we know it's there. We just choose not to deal with it. We choose not to look at it. We choose not to face it. We excuse it. We blame others for it. We say, well, this is just mine. That is the disillusionment of suffering. We struggle with inner passions and external affliction, yet we mistakenly think that I have my life under control. This is who I am. Me and God, we got it all worked out. And because we think we have life under control, we also believe that just one more drink, one more pill, one more relationship, one more new thing will ease our pain. We go through life suffering externally and internally because we blame others for our choices and we excuse our own behaviors. And that is the sad irony of suffering, is that I bring more suffering and pain into my life believing that they will ease my pain and suffering. And in doing so, I get deeper and deeper and more enslaved and more in bondage and more captured by the very things that I'm doing, thinking that they're going to ease the pain that is causing me to do what I'm doing. Suffering is the result of sin in the world. We struggle with external suffering, with grief, with disillusionment, with betrayal, with pain, with heartache. We also struggle with internal suffering. And it is caused by us living in a fallen world. In fact, Genesis chapter 3 tells us the beginning of suffering, beginning in verse 16 of chapter 3. God said to the woman, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will reign over you. And then to Adam God said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of it. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Even Jesus' suffering was the result not of his sin, but it was the result of man's sin. Isaiah said this in chapter 53, verse 6 and verse 8. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. Now I mentioned to you that the Greek word that Paul used for suffering, for external and internal suffering, was pathema. But the Greek word used for the suffering that Jesus went through is a different word. Jesus did not suffer because of internal struggles, passions, and lust. Jesus did not suffer because of disillusionment with the world or disappointment in people. The suffering that Jesus endured, the Greek word translates this way, to feel, to have a sensory experience, to undergo suffering. In other words, Jesus felt the suffering. Jesus endured the suffering. Jesus had a sensory experience of suffering. Jesus had to undergo suffering. Not his suffering for what he had done. He underwent the pain of the cross and suffering under Pontius Pilate for what I did, for what you did, for what Adam did, for what Eve did, for the sins and the suffering that came about it from the Garden of Eden until today and beyond. In other words, Jesus took what I deserved. He endured my pain, the pain my sins demanded. He endured what I could not withstand. There is no possible human way that God could weigh out to us the suffering that our sin demanded and said, you will experience this. It would be beyond human capability. But God took the pain of suffering, of my suffering, of the suffering that I've brought upon others, of the suffering that is brought about by my own choices and decisions. He took that suffering and laid it on Christ and said, you are going to feel this. You're going to feel this. It's going to range through every sense that you have. Your eyes, your ears, your nerves, your muscles, your tendons. Every part of your body is going to experience and undergo and endure the suffering that really belongs to them. So when we read we quote in the Apostles' Creed, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. We need to grab onto the magnitude of what that means. That Jesus suffered for me. That he did not suffer for his own sins. He did not suffer for his own struggles. He suffered for my sins. He suffered for my struggles. He suffered under Pontius Pilate to provide hope for the external suffering that I go through, and to provide healing for the internal struggles that I have. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to be lied about, to be humiliated, to be falsely accused, to be attacked verbally. He went through all of that. And he stands before Pilate, a political hack, a weak, spineless man who serves exclusively at the will of Rome, and he knows that. He stands before this man, and in essence, Jesus is going to suffer for the very words that Pilate will say when he turned him over to the mob to be crucified. Jesus took on himself that suffering. So when we say the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. That is where we take ownership. We had nothing to do with his virgin birth. We had nothing to do with God creating everything. But when we get to that place where it says he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that's where we step in. And we, although we don't add, but the truth of the matter is this: he suffered under Pontius Pilate for me. For me. We're going to take communion. And yes, I did look at the calendar, and this is not the first Sunday of the month. But I came across something by John Wesley. He was preaching, and he was preaching about Holy Communion. And in his sermon, he said this: it is the duty of every Christian to receive the Lord's Supper
as often as he can. It is the duty of every Christian to receive the Lord's Supper as often as he can. So we're coming today to the altar to take the elements, that bread that represents his broken body, that cup that represents his shed blood. And as you come and kneel here and Ken and I serve you the elements and you hold them before you take them, this is not a place of condemnation. This is not a place to come and beat yourself up over what you've done or even over what you're struggling with today. This is the place to come and find hope. This is the place to come to find grace. This is the place to come to find freedom. This is the place to come and find healing. So that when you get up from this altar and we leave, you can say, he suffered for me. He took on my issues so that I don't have to carry them with me anymore. Heavenly Father, as we prepare our hearts now to come and partake of these elements, I'm asking that you would quicken to each of us the realization that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate for me. That he took on my suffering. It was my struggles. It was my fear. It was my discouragement. It was my reactions to when people betray me or when people say things I don't like. It was my angry reaction. It's my habit. It's my bondage. It's the thing I do to ease my pain. That was all laid on Jesus when he suffered under Pontius Pilate. He suffered for me. And I pray today as we come to this table that this would be a time of healing and hope. Transformation, not condemnation, transformation. As we partake of these elements with the realization that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate. Amen. Ushers.